Good morning.
Good morning.
It's lovely to be back with you again. As we said, I'm Nick from All Saints. Shall we pray as we begin? Our great God and Father, as we look at these words, we pray that you would help us to number our days rightly. Would we see our lives and where they're headed rightly so that we might gain a heart of wisdom. Amen. Let me start with a question. When you think of your future, what do you picture there? I want you to do that for a moment. I want you to imagine the rest of your life stretched out in front of you, however long you reckon you got left. Imagine it stretching out in front of you. What do you see there? What are the key moments in your future diary? See, in this passage, I think what God wants us to see is that there is one moment in all of our futures. There is one moment for every single person in this room, 100% of us. There is one moment that is coming that we will all be there. It's like if you imagine we're all on a train heading towards the destination. And everything in our lives is happening on the way there. So every conversation that we have, we're a little bit closer. Every laugh we share, we're a little bit closer to the moment we arrive. Every breath we take a breath. One breath closer to this one moment in our future diaries that every single one of us will arrive at. What is that moment? Well, Jesus is teaching here, it's the moment that he returns. In verse 1, if you notice, he describes it in this story like a bridegroom arriving. And the bridesmaids waiting for his arrival. The moment that Jesus Christ returns. That is, however you think about your future, that is the key date in your future diary. It's not when you get married or have children or have grandchildren or retire. As important as those things are, the key date in your future diary and mine is the moment that we see Jesus face to face when he returns. And really the big question running through this section is this. Are you ready for that moment? Are you ready for that moment? This story comes, Jesus is in the middle of telling, he's talking about his return. He tells four stories. This is the second one. Last week we saw Jesus saying he's definitely going to come back. This week he's going to tell us we have to get ready now for that moment. The next 2 weeks, we're going to see how do we get ready? Like specific actions. What do we actually do? What does a ready life look like? We're going to see that in the next couple of weeks. This week, the focus is really this. We need to get ready now. We have to adopt a state of permanent readiness. This is how he talks about this in verse 13, is where everything's headed. Keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour. Let me put it as simply as I can. If you forget everything else, remember this. The only way to be ready for that day is to be ready every day. The only way for you and me to be ready for that key date that's coming is to be ready every day. So in this story, Jesus is going to tell us, he's going to tell us three things about his future coming. But that's the big idea. We need to get ready now. First thing we're going to see in this story is that the return of Jesus will surprise. It will be a surprise. Is that going to come? Yeah, brilliant. This is verses 1-6. It will be a surprise. So look down at verse 1 with me. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry. Here's the bridegroom, come to meet him. Now to understand this story, you just need to know that it seems that in weddings in those days, the kind of groom's party and the bride's party would get ready separately. And then there would come a point where the bride's party would go out to a certain point in the village and with their torches at nighttime, and they would join the groom's party, and they'd have, it must have been beautiful, this nighttime torch-lit procession. They join the groom's party, and he leads them into this feast, which would have lasted a week, by the way. Sounds amazing. He would have been welcomed into the feast. That's how it works in those days. And so you can imagine, can't you, in verse 2, the bridesmaids all fussing around, getting ready, fussing over the bride's hair, fussing over her dress, maybe trying to calm down the bride's mother. That happens sometimes at weddings. They're trying to help out. And then suddenly the moment comes. It's time to head out and get ready to meet the bridegroom. Now, five of them, it's pretty simple. Five of them are foolish. Five of them are wise. The foolish ones don't prepare. They just grab their torches and head out. We'll think more about that in a minute. And the wise ones do. They take oil with them. But then the thing I want us to notice here is verse 5 and 6. Notice in verse 5, they all fall asleep. It's not that the wise are awake and the foolish ones are asleep. They're all asleep. When he comes in verse 6, they are all surprised. Now, it seems that Jesus really, really wants us to understand this. In every one of the three stories he tells, it's the same thing. When he comes, it's a surprise. It's why it's kind of interesting that again and again, Christians keep getting obsessing over trying to figure out the exact date that Jesus will come. He seems really clear here. It's going to surprise everyone. It is going to be a surprise. Now, I don't know about you, but I think I need to hear that. Because if I'm honest, I just don't feel like it's going to happen anytime soon. You know, like in verse 5, there's been a delay. It's been 2,000 years. If I'm honest, I just don't feel like this is going to happen anytime soon. Is that true of anyone else? Then you and I are exactly the kind of people that need to hear this. It is going to be a surprise. God doesn't work to our timetable. He's not waiting for a convenient moment for us when we've got everything sorted out, we've lined up everything exactly as we want it. It's interesting, isn't it? How many weighty matters in life do we put off till later? Did you ever say that? I think this is a really important deal. I'll wait. I'll wait. I'll sort it out later. Maybe it's reconciling a relationship or having an important conversation or sorting out something in your life. And I think that is so important. I'll wait till I've got time to think about it and I put it on the shelf. But of course, that moment never comes. We never get to that moment in our lives where we have so much time, we can think about everything we want to and sort out everything we want to. It never comes. It just remains, those things just remain on the shelf collecting dust. Now, God has said here very clearly, it is going to be a surprise. It's not going to be a convenient time when we've sorted everything out that we wanted to. You and I will find ourselves standing before our Creator face to face. And the only way to be ready for that moment is to be ready every day. It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, it's worth asking. If it wasn't a surprise, if you knew it was tomorrow, what would you do? I wouldn't go to work. Yeah, I know. But apart from not going to work, honestly, what would you do? Who would you call? What conversations would you have? How would your diary be different? What are you waiting for? It's going to be a surprise. It's going to be a surprise. The only way to be ready for that moment is to be ready every moment. That's the first thing. It's going to be a surprise. Next thing Jesus shows us in this story is it's going to reveal. It's going to reveal in verses 5 to 9. So look down at verse 5 again with me. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. So imagine the situation, okay? There they are, they've all gone to sleep. And then the moment comes, the bridegroom's coming, and they all kind of wake up and rub the sleep out of their eyes, and they can see him coming down the road. And so they go to grab their lamps or their torches. And the wise ones are fine. They've got their oil, they trim their lamps, and off they go. But the foolish ones, in that moment, they suddenly realize they're spluttering out. And they can see the bridegroom coming down the road. And suddenly they have this moment of realizing it's too late. Now that he's arrived, I can't prepare for his arrival. They realize that failing to prepare was a huge mistake. His arrival reveals that failing to prepare was a huge mistake. And likewise, this simple idea, the coming of Jesus will reveal. It will reveal what truly matters in our lives and what doesn't. It will reveal what was wise and what was unwise. That moment, really, guys, it's the key measure of our lives. The measure of your life is not what is successful now. That is not the key measure of your life and mine. The key measure of our lives is that moment when Jesus returns. That will reveal what was wise and what was foolish. For half of those bridesmaids, it reveals their wisdom. For half, it reveals their foolishness. Now, there's a bit more to learn here, I think, about what it reveals about their foolishness. I think there are two mistakes that we can learn from. Firstly, they seem to have assumed there'll be time to sort this out later. They seem to have assumed, it'll be fine, when he comes, we'll be able to borrow, we'll be able to go and buy, there'll be time later, there's plenty of time, we can sort it out later. But then again, imagine how it would have felt that moment as they see him coming and they realise, oh, there's no time now, now that he's arrived, there's no time to get ready. I had all that time, I was asleep, I had so much time to go and get the oil, but now he's here, my chance is gone. As one theologian called William Barclay, he once said that there are three main lies that the devil uses on us. Three main lies. The first one is this. Some advantages to being lanky. One, there's no God. The first lie the devil says to us. Second lie, there's no hell. Third lie, there's no hurry. See, maybe you're here today and you know deep down that there is a God. You know that deep down. And you know deep down that you're not right with him. But you believe there's no hurry. There's no rush. There'll be time later. It's so important. I don't need to think about this now. I'll wait. I'll wait to get straight with God. There's no hurry. Well, this story, if nothing else, guys, this story is telling us, it reveals how foolish that is. It's the first mistake they make. They think there'll be time later to sort it out. The second mistake they make, they think that they can borrow from others. Do you see that in verse, eight, yeah. The foolish one said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. Right? They thought they could sort of rely on the fact that other people were ready, but then there's not enough oil to share. Jesus is telling us quite clearly here, being ready for him, that is not something that you can share. You can't borrow that from someone else. There are some things in life that we can't share. It's like, you know, when an exam starts, at that moment, you're sitting in the exam starts, at that point, you can't borrow anyone else's knowledge at that point. It's too late. There are some things in life you have to possess for yourself. Jesus is saying, being ready for him is one of those things. You can't borrow it from someone else. You can't share it. And there are so many people that get this wrong. So many people that think, look, if there is a God, it'll be okay because my parents are believers, my grandparents are believers, my friends are believers. I had a friend when I was a teenager, and I gave her a book about Christ to read, and she said to me, Nick, she read it, I don't think she listened to it at all, she said to me, Nick, it's fine, you don't need to worry about me, my granny goes to church. People think that. That if this is all true, then somehow I can sort of borrow it from other people. I'll be okay because of someone else. But that moment reveals you can't share this. The only way for us to be ready for that day is for each personally, for us to be ready every day. Final thing we're going to see. Jesus' return divides. Have a look down at verse 10 with me. While they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you." So it divides. The groom comes and it divides into two groups. Those that were wise and prepared join the torchlit procession. They're welcomed into the banquet. Banquet's the most common metaphor Jesus uses for heaven. It's going to be like a banquet. Isn't that awesome? And those that are ready are welcomed in. How exciting is that? But those that didn't bother to get ready, if you look at the end of verse 10, the door was shut. There is a separation. And notice verse 11, they're surprised. They expected to be let in. Personally, this is the thing I find most uncomfortable as I read this. They expect that they're going to get in. They think that they're part of things. And yet they don't. There will be people, perhaps even people here today, who assume they're going to get in, who don't. You meet a lot of people, don't you, who think, look, if there is a heaven and there is a hell, I'm pretty sure God will let me in because I'm sincere. You know, I try to be a good person. I try to, maybe not that religious, but, you know, I have my moral code. I try to do my best. I try to love my family. I think God will let me in. Like those bridesmaids here assume that they'll be let in, but they don't care enough to prepare for that moment. Mm-hmm. Now in verse 12, we see what's the real problem. Look at verse 12 with me. He answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you." You see the real problem? There's no personal relationship. Their actions reveal they don't really know the bridegroom. A lot of people today assume that God will let them in, but they don't care enough to get ready for that, to repent, to turn to Jesus, to seek God. And when he returns, he will say, I don't know you. The thing in the Bible says, God gives us every chance now to turn back to him. He's waiting with open arms. He loves us so much that Jesus Christ himself took our punishment on the cross. When he died on the cross, he was shut out from God's presence, wasn't he? So that you and I never have to be. And he's waiting right now with open arms to welcome each and every one of us. But if we push that away, I say, no, I'm not, I don't want that. Or not now, later. The moment comes, that moment in our future diaries comes when he will seal that decision into eternity. It will divide. And the only way to be ready for that moment, to be ready for that day, is to be ready every day, today. That's it. And so I kind of want to say, are you ready for that moment? Have you personally turned to Jesus Christ? Not your mum, not your dad, not your friends. Have you personally turned to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith? Two applications for us, two final implications. And really, they're both based off verse 13. Just look at verse 13. Jesus tells us what to do with this. Verse 13, "Watch therefore, you do not know the day or the hour." Two implications for us. First of all, don't put this off. Again, it's so easy for you to be here today and think, this is important. I know this is important, so I'll think about it later. Don't make that mistake. None of us know the future. Do you know, this was driven home to me recently. I had a friend who died 2 weeks ago. He's 32 years old, two young children, lovely young wife. He got a headache one day, went to the doctor's, brain tumour. 3 weeks later, he's dead. None of us know the future, the moment that we'll die or the moment that Jesus will come back. Please don't put this off. If you know you need to do business with the Lord, don't put this off. Talk to someone today. That's the first thing. Don't put it off. Secondly, I want to say, don't go off the boil. For those of us here that would say we've turned to Christ and are trying to live for him, I think I want to say, don't go off the boil. Look at verse 13 again. Keep watch, therefore, because you don't know the day or the hour. Don't ease off, Jesus says. It's so easy, isn't it, in the Christian life to drift. When you first become a Christian, to be really going for it, living in light of Jesus' return. And then over the decades, the cares and concerns of this life come in and pull my eyes away from that future moment. So over the decades, just ease off and just drift. I know a lady this happened to. Young lady, vibrant faith, really going for it, living in light of Jesus' return. She has kids. Life suddenly gets very, very busy. And over about a decade, she described it. She said, I became a Sunday Christian, come just on a Sunday. And then her life got really messy. Her marriage broke down. And so she came occasionally and then eventually came not at all. And the cares and concerns of this world, like thorns, were just choking out her faith. And until decades later, her life was no different to anybody else's. And here's the thing, there was no moment at which she woke up and said, right, I'm not a Christian anymore. Just gradual drift. Gradual drift. Maybe you're here today and you know that you're in danger of that. You're conscious that in some area of your life you are drifting. Well, look at verse 13 with me. Watch, therefore, you do not know the day or the hour. Wonderfully, that story has a happy ending. In her 60s, she came back to the Lord and received his forgiveness and was overwhelmed by his love. But the thing she said has always stuck with me. She said, if I had been more awake when I started to drift, perhaps I wouldn't have wasted so many years. If I'd been more awake when I started to drift, perhaps I wouldn't have wasted so many years of my life. Whereas Jesus says, verse 13, keep watch. Keep watch. Keep living now for that moment that he returns. The only way for you and I to be ready for that day is to be ready every day. Let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, just you know that we just find it hard to be aware of this day today. We find it hard to live now conscious of your return. So we pray by your Spirit that we would see our lives differently. Help us know that every second we are heading towards that key moment. Help us live now in ways that will be wise then. We pray it in your name and for your glory. Amen.